from the heart of Texas,
where he met his one and only true love. Proving that this guy really does know how to love well.
Because there's no way he won her over with his looks.
Therefore, he must be the relationship genius of our generation. Get ready for the best advice you'll ever hear on how to keep your relationships thriving. Welcome to the Smalley Podcast with your host, Michael Smalley.
Honey, what are you going to rant about today? Can we get a little preview?
You know, in today's show, Eddie George, the newly inducted Hall of Fame NFL running back, said something on my favorite morning show of all time, Mike and Mike in the Morning. Eddie George said something that totally blew me away. I've actually never heard a professional athlete say what Eddie George said this morning. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about what it means to your life and how to redefine your circumstances that you might be stuck in. All of this today on the Smalley Podcast. Today's special offer is the Reignite online course for couples. It is only $39.95, folks, so jump on to SmalleyInstitute.com. Wave your little mouse over the store and you will see online courses, and you can get the Reignite online course for $39. Well, and 95 cents, because that 95 cents, that's the portion that sends my children to college. So that's an important 95 cents. But basically what you get through that course, there are four key fundamental truths that we teach in our Reignite program for couples in crisis. The most important things we teach in that program that's over 85% successful in helping couples in crisis stay together and restore their relationship, you can learn those four truths in the Reignite online course. $39, SmalleyInstitute.com. And by the way, as always, every show at the beginning, I want to remind you that if you haven't left a review in iTunes, don't be shy. It's easy. And it really lets me know you're listening. I was actually reading those very reviews today. So I think it had been a while since I'd read them, because I'd like doubled in the amount of reviews. Or maybe people are finally starting to listen now that I have former NBA megastar Maurice Evans. Played for the Lakers. You played for the Magic. You were one of those guys that kept getting traded, weren't you?
Unfortunately, I did.
Did you ever take that personally?
A couple times. I don't know how you cannot take getting traded, especially when they tell you, hey, we're going to trade you for a younger, better looking guy. A little bit longer, Trevor Ariza. We think he can help guard better LeBron James and other guys in your position. I said, that's pretty interesting that's what you would actually tell me before you trade me. But
as you
told me that how much you appreciate my time, my effort over the past year and a half, I said, wow. Man. Thanks, Coach Jackson.
Do you guys look at it as a firing when you get traded?
No.
Sometimes?
Not at all. I mean, I think honestly, getting traded is always a matter of perspective. It was opportunity. And the thing is you only have about a 24 to 48-hour period to actually decide which perspective you're going to actually take.
Yeah.
So are you going to make this a positive and try and increase your opportunity? Or are you going to look at this as a poor little me and not take advantage, and now your career could possibly end shortly thereafter?
I just try to make interesting conversation. Why do you have a need to always try to give it a point?
Well, that
you always
brings
trying
me,
to make it healthy.
That actually brings me to the intro that I wanted to say. Had a lot of podcast listeners who have contacted me via family and friends who have actually listened to Michael and I. And I want to always preface this by saying that Michael and I are not perfect, and we come to try and bring...
Have they not listened to the podcast?
No, I mean, they haven't inferred that, but I just want, you know, listeners who are out here who begin to, you know, listen to our podcast and become subscribers. This is simply Michael and I taking current events and making them relevant to and relational. We want to take information to and apply it to... And to these real-time current events, and we also want to give you guys some encouragement that you can get past any anything that you're facing in your life. You know, we all go through transitions, we all go through trials, and we just want to simply just encourage each and every one of you guys and add a little bit of humor. Michael's an awesome comedian and you know,
a great
friend. Just to show you guys, you know, as a professional, as a former professional athlete, I never thought I'd be, you know, co-hosting a show with a former male cheerleader of one of the schools I can't stand, Baylor. You know, so that just shows you how good God is.
you must be feeling very insecure today to bring that up.
Not at all.
Compare your NBA career to my 2-year career as a male cheerleader at Baylor University?
I wanted to draw a comparison in that we're both former athletes.
Hey,
so I'm actually giving you props on the fact that we both went D1,
as they call it,
you know.
I didn't even realize sports. That till like this year. I was like, wait a minute. I was a D1 athlete. I can be proud of that, even though I was dressed in tight spandex and jumping in front of large crowds.
But at least
you were jumping in front of large crowds, and we probably had spandex.
We were both jumping, and I had spandex underneath my knee-long shorts, you know. But that brings us to the current issue, which is, yes, Eddie George, who recently got inducted to the Hall of Fame, as Michael said. He was a former Heisman Trophy winner, former Rookie of the Year. He was an All-American. He played a 4-time Pro Bowler, and he also married the beautiful Tamara from former of the group of SWV. So here it is that this guy, he's gross millions of dollars. He's married again, the woman of his dreams, and this guy still goes through bouts of depression and wonders at times, you know, what his purpose is in life. And it just shows to show you that it's not about money. It's not about, again, even, you know, the success that we seemingly have in our careers. It's about what Michael and I talked about on the last podcast, building a lasting and sustainable legacy. And the subtitle, if anyone has seen it today on the Mike and Mike show, was I Fought Demons. You want to speak to that, Michael?
No, I do. And what blew my mind about what Eddie George said this morning, and this is kind of what I led with, is that for the first time ever, and I asked you earlier when we talked and said we got to do a show on this thing, you hadn't heard a professional athlete say this either, publicly at least, but I'm you know, kind of running around this morning. It's sort of hectic. I'm trying to get kids ready. We homeschool, so I'm trying to get them organized and all that stuff. And in the background, because I like having Mike and Mike on, in the background I hear Eddie George, who I loved. I loved him with the Houston Oilers, and he spent his last year at the Dallas Cowboys, which I can get over that. But I'm looking at a good-looking guy, successful on every conceivable level, and I'm hearing him say that I struggled for years and I didn't get out of it until I realized that I needed to surrender. I didn't get out of this until I started developing the community around me of support and accountability. I didn't get better until I got counseling. When I met with my pastor, I didn't get better until I really embraced my faith. I didn't get better until I reached out to my wife and allowed her to influence my life. And so this healthy marriage was involved in getting him better. He literally outlined, bro, in like a few seconds, pretty much all the things you need to do in order to redefine yourself. And that's what today's about. It's when things are low and when things aren't going as you wished, and it doesn't matter if this is in your marriage, if it's with your children and parenting, if it's in your job, whatever it is, if you're feeling stuck or you're feeling trapped or you're not happy like you'd like to be, then really that's what we have to do, is we have to redefine ourselves. And so on the article on ESPN by Paul Kaharsky, he kind of talked, and I want you to address this, Mo, especially as a former professional athlete. Paul referred to him, Eddie George, as a recovering football player. That really stood out to me.
I thought that was brilliant, just the term recovering football player. I think so many people look at professional athletes, and especially professional athletes and those who are even CEOs of companies and people who attain great wealth and success as being healthy, because their exteriors is more often far healthier than their interior, then people get sidetracked and blindsided when you have, for example, the the young man who just killed himself, Philip Seymour.
Oh, the actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
He kills himself. He ODs on drugs. He's self-medicating. Why is this guy self-medicating when I've seen him in like 5 or 6 movies over the past 2 years?
Like, he's been in a gajillion movies. He's producing movies, directing movies. Exactly. What is he doing? And I like that term, Mo, medicate, self-medicate. That's what heroin is. That's what pornography is. That's what alcohol is. Out of balance. Well, obviously, you don't really ever take heroin. I just want to make sure the audience hears. You can't really take heroin in balance or pornography.
Well, I'm glad that you clarified.
Well, I thought some people need to hear that because they're going to listen to this and go, hey, we need to get some heroin. Try out a little bit. You don't try out a little bit of heroin.
Nah, and you know, just wanted to speak to that point before you read the passage that sure. Eddie Jordan made. I want to, A, give him tremendous credit for stepping forward as a professional athlete or recovering professional athlete and recognizing the transition that he had to make from former NFL, because once that's only you're only suspended in time is while you're a professional athlete, whether it's a 10-year, whether it's a 15-year career, they're always going to have somebody that wears that in that locker, in that parking spot, wearing that jersey unless they retired. But they're going to come, and there's always going to be, there was Michael Jordan, and then there's Kobe Bryant, and then there's LeBron James or whomever. There's always going to be somebody to come and replace you. And I had to learn how to distance the former life that was Mo Evans, the former Los Angeles Laker, and not allow myself to even be identified by that. Because you're out in the streets and people, hey, that's Mo Evans from the Lakers. And then you start identifying yourself as Mo Evans from the Lakers as opposed to, no, it's Maurice Evans or Mo Evans. And, yeah, that was a time, and I appreciate your support, but I'm going forward and redefining myself for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mo Evans, the son of God.
Yeah, definitely.
A child of the king.
And if you're not careful, whether you're a CEO of a company or a professional athlete, you will find yourself with all the entitlement that comes along with the quote-unquote successes that we have. When people used to let me cut in line now because they want me to come to a club, or people, you know, they recognize who I played for, and now it's a 45-minute wait at a restaurant. And guess what? I get slid into a table with my family and myself, and you find yourself, that creeps into you, the person that you are, and you find yourself expecting other people to cater to you or bow down to you, and that's a sickness, man. And it slowly will overtake you, and there's so many other areas that lead to the infidelities of the world or the porn addictions or the self-medicating, and we don't have the heightened self-awareness to recognize that.
I'm sorry, you're looking at me, and if only y'all were in the studio, I was at the end there, I couldn't hold back a smile, and you're looking at me like, I don't think I'm saying anything that's smile-worthy, but you know what made me think? We're friends. Friends are to help friends, right? I just want you to know that for you, no other reason, just to help you, if I can take off some of that burden of those extra benefits, I will do that for you.
Unfortunately, they all dissipated when I became former Laker.
It goes away.
Former Washington Wizard.
It goes away. That's why we need this podcast to go, so that we can do this into our 70s.
Exactly.
And never have to be former nothing. Well, folks, what we're talking about today is, how do you redefine yourself when you're in a situation that isn't going well, whether that be your marriage, your relationship with your children, your boss, whatever it is. Eddie George gave some great pointers today that I felt, Mo felt, are spot on. And in his book that he wrote with his wife, Eddie and Tamara George, Married for Real, Building a Loving, Powerful Life Together, here on page 129, we just wanted to, we found this passage and wanted to make sure and read it because it's so powerfully written. And this is Eddie George, remember, millions of dollars, Hall of Fame, college, Hall of Fame, NFL guy. This is what he said. I get discouraged. I get depressed. There have been opportunities that looked promising that I thought were going to work out but never materialized. It's hard when I experience setbacks. Sometimes I want to give up, but I've learned that when I start to have negative thoughts and face roadblocks, I need to get quiet. I rely on meditation to bring me to a calm state. And when I do, I find it hilarious that so many of us spend so much time worrying. I realize that so much of what causes worry or stress is just an illusion. I get so wrapped up in the details of things that I think I'm going to lose my mind. But when I take a look at what they amount to, they just dissolve. I have to back away and go back to where my passion lies. I have to return to the things I can control, to the craft, and not get wrapped up in the details. That's where I find my sanity and my center again. At other times, I'll do something I enjoy. And in those moments of relaxation and centering, the answers begin to come. Wow, I think. I didn't look at it from that perspective. Maybe I can take care of it this way. If I stop and listen, it rises within me organically. I feel great when that happens, realizing I don't have to depend on anybody but God for success. Eddie George, folks. I'm telling you right now, if you're going to redefine yourself, it starts with surrender. And it starts with surrendering and realizing that I don't have what it takes on my own to get out of this current circumstance. And so once I realize my ineffectiveness and my inabilities, what Eddie does here that I want to highlight is that he gets quiet. He goes to that meditative space. And I get annoyed as a pastor, and I'm a trained clinical therapist, but pastoring is probably my favorite joy in life. And I get so frustrated with the Christian community because they don't think it's healthy to meditate. They associate meditation with New Age junk and cults and whatever. Meditation is a Christian term. The Christians, we invented meditation. This is our thing, and it matters when you get to that quiet place and I actually, funny enough, just preached on this on Sunday. When we meditate, in essence, what we're doing is we're shutting up. So prayer is wonderful. Prayer is a part of it. But in prayer, I'm always talking. Yadda, 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 yakety, yakety, yakety. In meditation, I'm listening. And like Eddie said, and I've experienced in my own life, when we listen, that's when the true insight from the power of the Holy Spirit starts to invade our soul and things get resolved. Changes begin. And that's really that surrender for us and for Mo and I and obviously for Eddie and his wife is about our faith. It's about our relationship with Christ and how intimate is that relationship.
No, I think that is phenomenal. Just the comments that he made, the fact that, like you said, he goes and he gets quiet and I love the fact that he's come out publicly and he's made these statements and he didn't disguise it or mask it in the form of eloquent statement. He came out boldly and professed Christ as his Lord and Savior, and that's who he goes and consults when he gets quiet. I see so many other great athletes that are out there that win the Super Bowls or their faces of franchises, and yes, they display the characteristics. They know how to be make great statements and be humble in the moment, but they don't never go that extra step and really boldly say why they're humble and say what they're putting their hopes into, that they can weather a storm when someone comes up to you and offers, does an interview that's going to, again, draw the worst sides of you out after a tough loss. Or if a person's in a workplace and your boss comes in and fires you without cause, and now you're supposed to face this boss of yours who you've invested years of your life, and he's been devaluing you, you feel you're underpaid, and now you're supposed to handle this situation admirably. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't able to do that if they're not rooted in Christ and if they don't know who they are and they're not used to taking that quiet time, right, and going and consulting God's mind on a matter and say, God, how should I move forward? Is this the person I should quote unquote marry? Is this the person for me? Should I go forth and change jobs right now? I've been successful here, but I'm not feeling called to be in this space. If you don't know what that looks like and how to go and actually spend that time with God and then get quiet so you can actually listen and discern what it is that he's saying, that's what's called spiritual sight. And so many of us, we don't have it, and so we can't identify when Satan is infiltrating and performing those same signs and wonders that seem like it's leading you to your path and your destiny, but when in reality, it's only leading you further and further away from your call and your purpose.
Mm-hmm. You know, you and I were laughing the other day about, you know, how did we start working together? You know, it's just kind of like a blur, and we're like, how did this happen? And it's kind of one of those God stories, right? Because it's like, man, we never should have met, and the circumstances we met, and under the circumstances we met, well, how on earth are we like working together now and partnering together in business? And
why don't you share that a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, what's interesting about life and really interesting about the power of the Holy Spirit, and don't let me forget my main point, is do you remember last February, because you were talking about prayer and we're talking about meditation. Last February, before we really started working together, we took 17 days in the month of February to pray and fast over, hey, is this what God wants? Because you and I were already friends, But we were like, man, we don't want to get into this thing if this isn't what God wants. And so we took that 17 days just to pray and fast over it with my wife and with another individual. And by the end of that, man, we knew. We felt very confident in what God was speaking to all of us, really the same message. And so, you know, you and I got together because you and your wife, your former wife, ex-wife, Allie, came to a three-day intensive with Amy. And you know, I it's such an encouraging testimony, Mo, because obviously our intensive program isn't 100% successful. That'd be impossible. And even though the intensive didn't necessarily reconcile your relationship, I've always admired how you have used it, and she has too, but how you have used this to as an opportunity. Like a lot of people, if their spouse, because you were doing anything and everything in your power to reconcile the relationship. And it's what I've been so impressed by is that most people, when that doesn't work out like they wanted, they tend to melt back down again, and they go back to the same old habits that weren't working before and that were dysfunctional. And it's like it doesn't matter. And I can remember early on challenging you about that, saying, you know, you'll prove to me and you'll prove to her how much you really do care about her depends on how you treat her when it doesn't go your way. And that's really what's been powerful is you know, even if your relationship ends in divorce, we still have to stop, right? We have to stop the chaos and the conflict and the ugliness and whatever. And regardless if your marriage gets saved or not saved, or you stay together or you end up divorced, for the children, you guys have two beautiful kids. For the children, it doesn't matter. I still have to figure out how to love this person well so that my kids have the best chance of having the best life possible and not go through all those consequences of divorce.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And just I'll preface this obviously by saying my ex-wife is a really good person, a great person. I married the woman of my dreams, and I personally sowed those seeds of destruction, mm-hmm. form of infidelity and abuse and all these other characteristics that I, out of weakness, displayed throughout the tenure of my marriage and made her feel like that was the only cause. And so many other people have that same feeling. 50% of Americans get divorced. And that's because, again, most people, they don't put their faith in their marriage. They have that sprint mentality that we talked about in the last podcast, that they think as soon as they're not experiencing that awesome love and that euphoric feeling that you have when it's the tingles and everything, that, you know what, I must not be in love. And unfortunately, we have a 90% divorce rate in the NBA. Mm. And that's embarrassing to me as a leader in the NBA, as a vice president of the Players Association. That was something that always troubled me. And when I went through those difficulties, and now it so happened that it happened at the end of my career. So it's no more cheers and no more applause and no more me running back to the NBA and go get 20 points and have everybody tell me how great I am. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, I lost that. So God took that platform away. And then next thing you know, my family's dissipating and deteriorating right before my eyes. So now I lose that support system. Secondly, guess what? The checks stop coming. Mm-hmm. And so I go from making $1 million a year to making absolutely nothing. And so as articulate as I am, as talented as everybody told me I was, all of a sudden, nobody's knocking on my door anymore.
Yeah, where to go?
And like you said, I, by God's grace, came to the Smalley Institute. I was able to, my wife and I, were able to come in, even at the most depressed state of our marriage, were able to come in and get these 3 days of marriage intensive sessions, which was marriage education. We had tried all the counseling in the world, and only has a 20% success rate. So we go in and counseling, and why that's a 20% success rate is, let me see if the listeners out there can identify with this. You go into a counselor, you talk about your problems for about 30, 40 minutes, and because the two of you have such a heavy heart, one person can dominate the entire mm-hmm. time period. And then by the time you get ready to go, you know, you're hearing your spouse or your relationship,
your significant other,
yeah, throwing you under
minutes.
The bus, and you're saying, dude, that ain't how it happened. And now you're trying to defend yourself. And guess what? your counselor says, time's up.
One of our favorite tricks.
I need your copay. And don't forget to pick up this book on your way out of the office. And I'll see you this time next week. So now you got a whole week you have to go out there and engage with your spouse or significant other.
Try not to melt down.
And you're getting ready to go on vacation because you thought that this was about to really set you guys up. And I'm like, dude, this is not how it works. And so anyway, by God's grace, we found the Smalley Institute. We went to a 3-day intensive, 8-hour sessions. And the tagline is not that we will save your marriage in 2 days anymore. It is that we will reignite your marriage, which can happen as soon as you go in and get these tools. And I tell you that God has been moving in such a mighty way within me, because when I went in there, I was so damaged and I was hurt and I was scarred, not only from my marriage, but I was scarred from all the years that I endured playing in professional sports or playing in college, of people telling me that I wasn't good enough. And it's not a poor little me story, but I'm just telling you how these things affect your self-image and the belief in yourself. And if you're not strong enough and you're not rooted in God and you don't have that process, you will in doubt allow those things to define you and distract your purpose. So anyway, long and short, again, you know, I thank Michael for allowing us to being open to even what the Holy Spirit was doing in his life and in my life. And if we hadn't taken that time, then we wouldn't even, there would be no way that I would be a partner with them in the Marriage Institute. We're about to do some phenomenal things across professional sports. We have a date night event that's about to start coming up where we're going to do some awesome, fun, loving things and you know, just interact and engage in the community. And that's the next point that we had on our radar is talk about the importance of developing your community.
Well, I mean, if you're wanting to redefine yourself and you're trying to change your situation, this is like the overall theme, is that you're not alone. And if you think you're an island and you have to figure this out by gritting your teeth, you know, and grinning and bearing it and all that junk, nah, you're going to fail. And that's what Eddie said, is he tried to do it on his own for years. And for years he suffered with his demons and with the depression and all that junk that comes with it. And so when you develop your community around you, what I'm asking, and you can really even put most of this in there, because a community around you means that you have people in your life that you're close enough with and intimate enough with that you can talk with, that you will be able to help and you will receive help from them, right? So you're willing to listen to them. He was willing to get counseling. That's a part of your community, is, do I have someone? Is it a pastor? Is it a mentor? Is it a professional therapist? Who cares? I mean, people are so funny in my line of work. They think, oh, I don't want to go to counseling because people might think there's something wrong with me. Well, let me just give you a little clue here. Everybody knows there's something wrong with you. You don't hide it nearly as well as you think you do. And guess what? Everybody looking at you going, well, there's something wrong with that dude, they also have something wrong with themselves. Nobody is free from having trouble in their life, and counselors are on this world. And again, they can be a friend, that can be a pastor, it can be a mentor or a professional, but are you willing to go to someone and receive their influence? Not just listen and give them, you know, oh man, you're so great, no, okay, and then not go do anything. Are you actually willing to apply it? That's the kind of community you want that leads to you redefining yourself. But I think like Eddie, like you, Mo, I try to do it, Amy tries to do it. I think also that you have to be a lifelong learner.
Man, that's
like
awesome.
If you don't take education serious, and I don't mean education like go get your degree and whatever. I mean, are you reading the books? Right? And you know what, Mo, you said something. I'm getting the book again. Allie, when you guys were still together, she had this book, right?
Yeah,
Married for Real.
That, just to speak to that point really quickly, the book by Eddie and Tamara George, Married for Real, was actually in the drawer in my bedroom. And my wife, during our marriage, she was she would wake up and do devotionals and read these books. And to her credit, I was still asleep. Because guess what? I worked out the day before, even though it's the off season, so I'm tired. And then I go and stay up in the theater room in our $2 million home, and I'm watching the game. And I'm staying up and watching the TNT interviews or the Super Bowl or whatever. She goes to sleep because we have kids. So now she's waking up early. She's getting the kids dressed and ready to eat. And then she goes and does her devotional. And guess what? I sleep and I come in at 11 or 10:30 or noon or whatever it was. And then I go out there and take care of the kids. And I'm playing with them, having a great time, but not acknowledging what effort that she took. And then I go play golf and I go all about me. And it's like you cannot see yourself when you're in those moments. And whether you're a CEO of a company, whether you're just if you're you know, just in a regular relationship, not even married, you know, if you don't never take the time to take self inventory and reassess what you are investing into your relationship or into your marriage, you, my friend, are setting yourself up for epic failure.
No, it's true. And we're going to have to start wrapping it up here, but I want to make sure that everyone is listening, that you understand, if you need to redefine your situation, it starts with a faith. It starts with surrendering to Christ, allowing him through prayer, through meditation, through being quiet and listening to change your circumstances. But then after that, it's, are you willing to be a learner? Are you willing to read the book? Are you willing to go to that small group? Are you willing to be involved in your church? Are you willing to have that mentor, that accountability partner? Are you willing to go get counseled when all else fails and you feel so stuck and miserable? My wife and I, last March, went to counseling. We're professional counselors. And there's a few people here in Houston that we would trust with our own problems. And we called one of them and said, dude, we need to come in. He's like, oh, do you need to like come to my office or do we want to go to lunch? And it's like, we need to come to your office. There's nothing wrong with that. It actually says that you have wisdom when you can recognize that I don't know everything and I don't know how to get myself out of this thing. I'm in trouble. I need help. And so we don't have to struggle with depression. We don't have to struggle with suicidal thoughts. We don't have to struggle with addictions. I mean, all those things will come at us from time to time. Everybody has it. The reality is if you want to change it and change your circumstances, we redefine ourselves through surrendering and through that community of believers and people, of mentors and accountability partners. And then that attitude that says, I want to learn everything I can about this, so that I can change my life. That's how you change, man. You don't change your life sitting on the couch eating Cheetos.
And let me just speak to that point a little bit. You talk about faith, and I think sometimes we just take for granted that everyone knows what we're talking about. You know, most people don't get left, taught. Now that marriages are breaking up at a 50% rate, most of us are left to be our own leaders. So not everyone has a head of household that's the spiritual leader that's teaching you how to pray, or that you sit down on a daily and you eat at the table with your family and you're hearing you're learning how to communicate, or you're seeing your parents. They don't argue in front of you; rather, they go into the bedroom and they have all these tools that they're using. We don't always see that, and that's why that's so important to faith. You still have to go out and educate yourself and read the Bible or read whatever's going to strengthen your faith and your resolve so that you can be reminded of the promises that God has for you. You know, if I was continuously operating out of self, it would have been easy to go back to that former life and go chase old relationships or girls or things that made me feel good. You can't just trust your feelings. You have to, in your circumstances, you have to, again, know what your quote-unquote purpose is. And I want to make that relative to other situations, because I don't want this just to be about couples who are married or about couples who are in relationship. These things apply to everyday situations and to your every components of your life. For example, if you're struggling with bouts of weight loss, you still need a support group and you need somebody to hold you accountable when you want to go out there and binge on something that's unhealthy for you. You know, if you're transitioning from your job, that's not just a transition from multi-million dollar NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball career. You can be a CEO of a company for the last 30, 40 years, and now you're 50, 60 years old, and you got to go transition and be at home with your spouse now. Now you don't get to go work long hours and hide behind your desk or your work. You have to come home and communicate with your spouse now. Now you have to go take those dream vacations that you guys let and start scratching off your bucket list. But if you don't know how to communicate and do that, you will fail. And if you don't have faith, and if you're a single parent or a single young man or woman who's in college, or you're trying to figure out what type of spouse or what type of person am I supposed to be looking for? We don't want you guys to be in this 50% where you think it's a gamble. I was in the dentist's office yesterday getting a toothpick. And unfortunately, I felt so bad for the young lady who was talking to me. She's a young lady, 27, 28, and she's speaking to me about how she feels like marriage is a gamble now.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's just a roll of the dice, and it shouldn't be that away, guys. It's marriage is a covenant. It's God's most coveted institution. And think about it. God never put any one of us on this earth without having a destiny and a purpose for all of us. We all have the opportunity, but we have to have the spiritual sight, and we have to invest into that relationship so that we can access those blessings and that purpose.
Amen, man. That was actually very, very well put. Here's the deal, folks. And this isn't a shameless plug. The reason we as a ministry and company produce so many small group curriculums and now these online courses is so that you have, that we give you as many different ways that you can educate yourself to improve your situation. So I really do want to encourage you to go to SmalleyInstitute.com, check out that Reignite online course. We even have a course for engaged couples, and we have a course for parents. Man, check them out. They're cheap. They're powerful. They're helpful. They got videos and text and, you know, the whole thing that you can get through online courses. But if you're listening and you're really in crisis, the Smalley Institute, we have a program that we call Reignite. And so if your relationship is on life support, reignite your marriage in 2 days. You get two, and you can add a bonus day of three. You get 2 to 3 days where you can learn exactly what it takes to turn your relationship around. And one of the things I'm most proud of with this program is in 2012 and 13, we had 99% of the people that came through our program would recommend it to someone else who's hurting. So that includes people where their marriage didn't actually get reconciled. They still would recommend the program, folks.
I was the 1%, just to let you know.
No, yeah, I know. You were that one. They didn't put their name on that eval. That's typical. But call us at 800-975-8748 or visit us again on the line, on the web at SmalleyInstitute.com. Well, this leaves us with just one thing left to say. Do you have something, Mo?
Yeah, like you're getting ready to talk. I would say one more thing just on that last note of clarifying the Smalley Institute and the Reignite sessions versus a 50-minute counseling session. Having gone through it with my ex and still believing that God is healing and working in our lives in such a mysterious way, the 8-hour session that we had was so empowering because for the first time we were actually looking and modeling tools, and we did this during the sessions. We were modeling tools that we had never used in our relationship ever from the beginning when we thought we were over super in love, and this is. She was a former Laker girl and danced on stage with Rihanna and did all these things. And she's more beautiful on the inside than any of the talent that she has on the outside, any of the accolades she could ever earn or win to me. You know, and I felt like God totally prepared this woman for me, but I did not have these tools available. And I found out in those sessions that a lot of things that occurred in our relationship, that they weren't accurate from my perspective. I'm thinking that she's harboring ill will, or that she doesn't want to support me, or that she doesn't value the work that I put into my relation, my career, like everybody else had been telling me how great I was, mm-hmm. when that wasn't true. She didn't know how. She had never dated a professional athlete before. And to most people's credit out there in your relationships, most of us out there, we look at it only from our perspective. And we talked about this again in the last podcast, that most of us only want people to understand us instead of trying to, we only want to be understood instead of trying to understand others. And I think that if we really take the time and give people grace and learn and make a true commitment, an unconditional commitment to learn with somebody, to grow with somebody, you can withstand any trial, any storm, and you guys will really have tools and keys to be successful. So give it a try, and thanks again for listening today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've reached that point where there's really just one thing left to say.
And now, it is time to say goodbye.